For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
So we're in 1 Peter tonight. We're going to continue that. What's funny is my dad, Pastor Ron, and Shane and myself have been meeting together and putting together series for Sundays, and we've been kind of working together on the Bible studies, and I don't remember how we came up with 1 Peter. The first chapter is amazing. I'm excited about it. But then you get to like chapter 3, and it starts talking about wives submitting to their husbands, and wives are the weaker vessel and all this stuff, and I'm like, it's going to be really interesting when we get to that chapter. I don't know how Shane's going to deal with it. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out how he deals with it, hopefully. I'm halfway joking, but the Bible is interesting. It was written at a different time, right? And culturally, things have changed, but the message and the heart and the God that it's talking about has remained the same. And so tonight, as we, now that I know that you're not in a comedic mood, you guys are in a serious mood, you guys are studious, you came on a Wednesday night, you guys want to learn, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the Word, and we're going to believe that God has something for all of us, right? Shane just prayed, and it was a really good prayer, but what I want to do right now to start it off is I just want to pray for every single person that's here tonight and every single person that's watching online. By the way, if you're watching online, we had a little technical glitch, and so we were off air for a minute, but we're back on, so thank you guys for your patience. Got to do that for the people that are at home. But I'm going to go ahead and pray right now for everybody that's listening to it, whether you're listening right now or it's in the future and you're listening online, all right? I'm going to pray for you. Let's do this. Father, we just come to you. Lord, you're not an idea. You are not a way of life. You are a being, a real live being, Lord, and you care about us, and you pay attention to us, and you help us, and you guide us, and you give us everything that we need when we need it, and I just thank you for that, Lord. I want to acknowledge you right now, Father. It says in your word that if we acknowledge you, that you will make our path straight, that if we just simply think about you, we simply think about who you are in our lives, God, that you will actually lead us in the right way, God, that our eyes will be on you, and that your eyes will be on us, and things will work out the way they're supposed to. Not without challenges, but with challenges that turn into closeness to you and challenges that turn into glory for you. And so, Father, I pray right now that every single person that's listening right now, every single person that's in this building, that is outside of this building, that's listening to this right now, I pray, Lord, that they would think right now about what it is that they need. What is it that's bothering them? What is it that's going on in their lives? And I pray right now that we would all just offer that to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow us also to offer the good things, Lord, the thankful things, the things that we're excited about and we're thankful for, Lord. Right now, we just offer those to you, Lord. And I pray that your fire would come down. And I pray, Lord, that you would burn up the things that shouldn't exist, Lord, in our lives. And I pray that you would let whatever you want to remain in our lives. Lord, when we follow you with our whole entire lives, and so we just lay down everything to you. And I pray that everybody that's willing to receive this tonight, God, that they would be able to have the wisdom and the courage to let go of their entire life and to let you take over and to let you be God and for us to be your children. And we just thank you for that, God. We acknowledge you. We love you. Holy Spirit, speak through me and speak to us. And show us what you want to show us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had the sniffles a little bit. And I took not antidepressant. I took a decongestant. You can't get that at Walmart, right? Or maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so I was sitting there, and I had my eyes closed. I was trying to think, you know, I'm trying to pray, but I'm also trying not to fall off. Has anybody had like a rough day today? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah, sometimes pastors do too, you know? But the show must go on. We got to roll. God has something for us. So if you haven't been attending or if you haven't been paying attention, we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're all the way up to verse 15. So my dad, Pastor Ron, spoke last week, and he ended at 14, but I'm going to go ahead and read 14 because it's part of 15, and that's important, and then we're going to get as far as we possibly can. I have an idea of where we're going to go, but with these Bible studies, sometimes we get further than we think we're going to, and sometimes we don't. So we're just going to do the best we can and let God speak, right? So let's start in verse 14, and if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and follow along. If you want to read on the screen, that's fine too. If you have your phone, whatever you want to do, follow along and take notes. If something rings in your ear as I'm speaking, something that has been happening, something that's been going on, or something that I say, or something that you just know that it wasn't your own thought. If it just pops into your head, write that down, okay? Because that's probably God speaking something to you. And that's important because whatever it is, God doesn't waste his breath, okay? So it's important for us to believe that he's going to speak to us. I mean, how many of us really believe that, right? On the opposite end of that, before we get into this, how many of us pray and ask God to show us his will, but then we don't pay attention to the answer? See, at some point, God will stop speaking because he knows you're not going to do anything with it. That's the truth. Because in the end, God doesn't want you to blame him for not giving you something when it's really you just not listening. So as we listen tonight, just take that seriously. You don't have to take the things that I say seriously. Take the things that God says to you seriously, and I'm very seriously, because it's important. Because we live in a crazy world at a crazy time, and it's not a coincidence that we're here tonight. Okay? Important. So verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. So my dad talked about that last week, and I'm not going to really hit on that, but it's part of this next verse. It says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. So as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust. Back in the day, right, if you guys can remember, you probably did whatever you wanted. There's probably, can you guys think of a time in your life where you just kind of did what you felt like doing, right? Maybe not fully, but you made mistakes, right? How many of you guys can remember the younger, more immature days where you just made mistakes? How many of you guys, that was yesterday, right? So instead of living according to lust, and lust is a word that has been sensualized, and yes, it could refer to sex, but lust is basically just wanting something you can't have. It's like living outside the boundaries. It's like not even realizing you have boundaries. It's like not having any roadmap for yourself, no discipline, right? It's just basically, hey, I see a double cheeseburger with fries, I'm gonna eat that right now. Hey, I see, you know, this thing over here, I'm gonna do this right now. It's like, it's just doing whatever you feel like doing, right? And that's what children do. I have a 3-year-old, and she just does whatever she thinks about doing, and it's not always the right thing. It's not always the good thing, but she's a child, and she's learning, right? And so as she does things that she shouldn't do, I tell her, you shouldn't do it. And my wife tells me that I'm harsh. I don't know why, but apparently I'm a little bit more blunt with her. My wife has more patience than I do. And when my daughter does something she shouldn't do, my wife like sits down and explains why. And I as a father am learning to do the same thing, right? It's like a work in progress. But how many of you guys know that God does that with us? Right? When we first get saved, or we first start taking our walk with God seriously, and maybe some of you guys are there right now, you're in the youthful stage of being a Christian. And if you're there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that God, he'll basically lead us and guide us, and he'll slap our hands when he needs to and tell us no. But at some point, we have to get to a point where we're living more maturely. Right? And that's what Peter is talking about here. He's talking about maturity. He's talking about growth. He's talking about, like in our prayer sessions. How many of you guys have ever prayed, Lord, you know, should I do this thing? And you know you shouldn't do it, but you pray, Lord, should I do this thing? And you know that it's just not good for you. It's not good for you to go to this place. It's not good for you to do this thing. But you pray it anyway. And at some point, you get to the point where you don't even have to have an answer from God, because God just kind of just lets you know, come on. You know. You get to the point where you just know. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. So what Peter's talking about here is he's talking about graduation. He's talking about going from a kid to an adult, getting older, having more responsibilities. So don't be like children that do whatever they want, but instead be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves in all your behavior. So this word holy, I want to kind of break this down. It's hagios, and it's in the Greek. Now, you don't have to remember that. That's fine. If you guys want resources on the Hebrew Greek, if you guys are there, you want to do that, check out a website called blueletterbible.org, and you can actually just Google blb.org, and it'll pop up. And so if you guys want to, what's cool is, and I wish, you know, the next time I speak, I'll try to remember to, like, show you how to use it, but it's really easy. You just go to tools, you go to, if you click on tools, it'll show you the Greek and Hebrew words. If you, basically, if you're into it, and you know what, if you want to learn how to use that, you can email me, jvieddy@me.com. That's my real email. Shane does not know my email, so I can help you with that. But anyway, when you look at the Greek and Hebrew words, right, the Bible was originally written in, it really opens things up. And so the word holy is hagios, and basically it means sacred. So when you look at this definition in Strong's Concordance, which is the one that we use the most, it says physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated, perfect without blemish, morally pure, upright, blameless in heart and life, set apart from a common to a sacred use. This is assumed of all who profess the Christian name. And so if you are a Christian, which if you're wondering what that is, maybe there's a few of you tonight that don't know. I did a teaching on it a few weeks ago called The Context of Salvation. So check that out. That will help you understand. But basically, a Christian is somebody who professes Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who believes that he was risen from the grave, who believes that your sins are taken and you are cleansed so that you can live in harmony with God. That's what a Christian basically is, okay? And if you are that, then you are holy. So what that means is if you've given your life over to Jesus Christ in that way, that God doesn't just give you a high five and let you live your life, right? How many of you guys watched that football game this past Sunday? Good game, right? It was awesome. I've used this analogy before, but I'm going to use it again because I think it's so clear and so good. There were certain players who, at the end of the game, they never got their uniform dirty, right? Still awesome. I mean, right? Like, you get to go to the Super Bowl and hang out. Those guys get paid really well, but they're not in the game. They're there in case somebody else gets hurt. But we had all of our attention on the players that were getting dirty, that were in the game, that were fighting it to the end, right? They were working hard on the field and running and scoring touchdowns and just getting dirty. You know, they were playing football, right? And it was a great game, fun to watch. In our Christian walk, when God calls you and says, hey, I want you to be on my team, what he wants is he wants you to be in the game, not just on the sidelines. And so what I mean by that is when we become Christians, God gives us a purpose. He gives us a calling, right? And the word calling is a little confusing because it basically means you're invited to a party, and it's kind of non-specific, but gifting is very specific. And when God calls us into ministry, he will give us gifts, and he will have us use those gifts to glorify him and to build his kingdom. All of us, just as much as me up here, all of us are called to build his kingdom. You guys are all players on the field, and you're called to be on the field, right? You should be on the field. And so when God calls you, realize that he's calling you to holiness, and holiness means to be set apart for use. Moving from the common to the sacred. Common, basically, you know, it means that you're like everyone else, living your life. It means that you're just, you know, going to work and punching in, and you're just doing what you're supposed to do, what you're asked to do, and you go home. There's no fire. There's no excitement. right? But when you're called, and let's say that you have a job that you don't love, right? But you're called by God to be in the game, you can go to work and you can clock in and say, all right, I got to do my job. I'm going to do it really well. I'm going to work really hard, but I'm also going to look for opportunities to build God's kingdom. When you have that mindset, it's totally different. See, God called you to be holy, so act like it. So be holy. Realize that he has you where you are right now. Right now. How many of us, we get in a place where we just don't really know if we're in the right job? We don't really know. If we're honest, some of us would say, I don't even know if I'm in the right marriage. Well, as we say over and over, that once you said I do, you done did, right? And so, whether it was right before, it's right now, right? Because you're in it. Now, there are situations like abuse and stuff that, you know, that's a different story. And I don't want anybody to think that they're stuck forever. If there's cheating going on and there's abuse, then that's a whole different subject. But for the most of us, we are called to live with our spouse in unity. And we are called to do ministry with our spouses and love each other. Like, when God calls us to love our neighbor, I think of that as him calling us to love the person next to you. And who's the closest person to you if you're married? But yet, our spouses are sometimes the ones that we neglect the most because they're the closest to us. Right? We get into this mentality of, what do they have for me? What are they going to do for me? You know, why aren't they going to do their part? Instead, as husbands and wives, as we will see in chapter 3, as husbands and wives, we're called to love each other, to put our attention on each other. And that's what God has called us to do. So that's all part of holiness. And it expands from your home. And if you're not married, it's the people that God has brought into your life. How many of you guys know that, like, when you get saved, God will just bring random people into your life. And those random people will become your family. They will become your brothers and sisters, right? And when God calls us into holiness, he calls us into a family. He calls us into a whole new way of seeing things, a whole new ministry. It really is a beautiful thing. I honestly, there's a lot of mystery in what it means to actually be holy, and I don't think we'll really fully understand it until we get to heaven. But for the most part, what it means is that you and I are part of the family. We're in the game, right? We have purpose. We have responsibilities. Like we like the word purpose. We don't like the word responsibility, right? But the two go hand in hand. They just do. If you want purpose, if you want God to actually use you in your life, you have to open your eyes to the responsibilities that he's given you around you. And honestly, like I think sometimes when we get stuck in our Christian walk, we feel like God's not speaking to us anymore. We feel like God's not showing us the things that he used to show us. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're not doing the basics. We're not doing the things that he's called us to do, which number one is love the people, love God first, right? And then love the people around you. And then do whatever you can to show them what God shows you. It's really simple, but not always easy, right? So that verse goes on, and Peter says, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, in my Bible, it says that Peter is referencing the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 44. I feel like that phrase could be in, it's probably in a few different places in the Bible. But when I looked up Leviticus 11:44, it's the law, and it's in the law. It's talking about foods that are clean and foods that are unclean, and you know, there's this whole list of things that are clean and things that are unclean. All these rules, right? And the law, just to give you a simple perspective, the law comes from the Ten Commandments, which came from Moses, who was leading the children out of Israel, and the children of Israel were slaves before, right? And so in their slavery, they only knew how to be slaves. And so when God calls Moses to lead them out of slavery, he allows them to be kind of lost in the desert before they get into the promised land that God has called them to be. And in this space of time when they are lost in the desert, God God is teaching them all these lessons, and part of that was the Ten Commandments, and he gives them these laws, these 10 laws, and then underneath that, there's like 613 laws, and there's thousands below that. And if you go to Jerusalem today, there are mostly men, but there are people that are there, just they're debating what these laws mean still to this day, right? And it gets kind of confusing. It's pretty gnarly. But in the book of Leviticus, if you've ever read through it, you'll see some crazy laws. And so I went back and I read, and it was about food. You know, what food is clean and what food is unclean. And I thought that was really interesting because in the book of Acts, we have a story where God is speaking to Peter about the law. And it's speaking to him about the tradition that Peter grew up in. And chapter 10, verse 9, it says, Peter's on his way to meet this guy, Cornelius. It says, they're on their way and approaching the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry. He was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opened up, and a certain object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Now, if you guys are honest and you know, were out and about and you got hungry and then you fell into a trance and you saw a really weird vision about a sheet with a bunch of animals on it, you'd think, man, what happened? Right? You think, what just happened? I must have ate something bad. I must have had a rough night. Like, I don't know what's going on. We would just brush it off, right? But God was speaking something very serious to Peter here. And in verse 15, we see exactly what that is. It says, "And again, a voice came to him a second time," says, "and the voice said, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.'" What's happening here is that God is speaking to Peter, and he's showing him something completely new. He's changing his perspective. He's changing his mindset. Now, this is grown-up Peter, by the way, right? He had already spent years with Jesus, and he had been called by Jesus. He had been told exactly what he's supposed to do in his life. He was fully in his ministry at this point, and sometimes I think when us as Christians, when we get into a maturity, a certain level of adulthood, so to speak, we start to think that we figured out that there's nothing new that we can learn. But here Peter is, as an adult, learning something new. God is changing his perspective. And he's saying that the old way is not the old way anymore. There's a new way. And I want to open up the heavens. And what God is really speaking to Peter is that Christianity wasn't just for the Jews. It was for anybody and everyone, because they considered other people that were non-Jews to be unclean. And so just this perspective was really, really interesting, because Peter is learning that holiness doesn't come from following the laws and the old ways and the rules, but holiness comes through relationship with God, and that it's open to anyone and everyone. Moving on, in verse 17, it says, he says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work," right? And so he goes right into the relational aspect of this idea of God and his people. See, when God created Adam and Eve, when he began this whole thing where it was going to be us and him, he created it because he wanted a relationship with us. But because of disobedience and because of our actions and because we wanted to do things on our own throughout history, God had to create these rules. And he had to create this set of disciplines so that we wouldn't ruin our whole entire lives, so that we wouldn't ruin civilization, right? And the law was all about that. The law was all discipline-oriented. But now, Peter's relearning that God just originally wanted a relationship. And so in verse 17, it says, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. We're going to stop there and look at Father for a second. I believe at Man Cave on Saturday, Pastor Hector had his sons up, and they were talking about father and son relationships, and he called me. We talked about it, and the one thing that I thought of was if we have a view of our earthly fathers that's negative, that could actually affect our view of who God is to us. And let me explain that to you. Some of you guys have had really good earthly fathers. Maybe not perfect, but good, right? Some of you guys would say, hey, like I've had a really good father, provided for me, loved me, was there, right? It was awesome. And then some of you would say that wasn't the case. Some of you would say, hey, my dad was not there for me, right? And that's a shame. If that's true, that's a shame. It's really sad. And it's when I did a teaching years ago on the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus teaches us to come to God as Father first, right? He comes, come to God as Father first. And if we have a problem with our perspective of what an earthly father is, I really think that could affect us in how we see God. So let me just say this about fathers, okay? A good father, Father God. Father God will love you like no other. He will love you like no other. Okay, you might want to compare God to somebody in your life, but you can't, because God is holy, like we talked about. He's different. He's set apart. God will love you like no other. So open yourself up to that. Open yourself up to receiving that love. Realize that as a heavenly Father, that He wants to give us exactly what you need, but not until you need it. Right? Because He wants you to understand that He is your provider. He wants you to understand that He is the one that's going to take care of you. Maybe everyone, including your earthly father, has let you down in this life, but God the Father will never, ever, ever, ever let you down. And I can prove it. I can prove it to you. Okay? I'm going to prove it to you right now. Mind blow. You ready for this? You're here. Right? Maybe you dragged yourself in, but you're here. God has always been your provider. He's always given you exactly what you need. Maybe tomorrow is uncertain, okay? And maybe God is like not worried about that. Maybe God would say, it's going to be okay because I'm your heavenly Father. All I want you to do is just stop looking at all the things that can take you down and start looking at me who will lift you up, right? That's who God is. He's a heavenly Father. He will protect you. He will fight for you, right? He hears your prayers. He does. He hears every single one of your prayers. Doesn't mean He's going to answer them the way you think He ought to, because He's God. He knows what you need. Remember? He knows. He will hear your prayers, and He will give you an answer. It might not be the answer that you expect, but He will give you an answer. But we also have to listen, right? Like if I go to my dad and be like, hey, Dad, we really need to do some stuff here, whatever it is, and I don't even know what I asked my dad anymore. I guess what have I asked my dad for recently? I asked him to get together for a meeting this week, and he hasn't done it. But that's okay. That's all right. Because he's busy. He's doing other things. You know what I mean? We're going to meet. It's going to happen. It's going to work out. But it's going to work out when he has time. And it's going to be okay. You know? So God does all these wonderful things, but it's also true that He judges. God judges. He decides. How many of you guys were listening to or watched any of the impeachment trial? Anybody? Super interesting, right? Nail biter. Nobody knew how that was going to turn out. What was funny is I was listening to it today, and it was on the radio, And I'm not going to get political or anything because that's not my place. I'm smart enough to know that there are differences of opinions here. But the one thing that I did take from it, I was listening to the Senate. They called it a roll call vote, and they would actually yell. They would say that, not yell, but they would say the senator's name, and the senator would just simply yell out, say guilty or not guilty. And I'm sitting there listening to each person. I mean, this is radio. This is like entertainment for me today while I'm driving around. Guilty. Guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And I'm sitting there thinking, what if, like, this thought hit my head because I knew the text for tonight. I was like, what if 100 of your peers were selected, right, to judge your entire life in the very end? Like, how would that make you feel? How would it make you feel? How many of you guys would say, oh, shoot, that's not good, right? Does that make you nervous? Is that scary? Yeah, it should be. Right? It should be. But we aren't judged by 100 of our peers. We aren't judged by a jury. We aren't judged by the people around us. We aren't judged by the people that you think are thinking about you that aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about you, possibly thinking about them. Right? We're not judged by each other. We are judged by a Father God. Right? And that's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing because he loves you and he cares about you, but he will whoop you if he has to. He will. Years ago, my friends and I, we used to do crazy stuff. We went up to a mountain cabin and we got together and we were praying and seeking God, and I miss those days. It was a lot of fun. But my grandparents had this cabin on a hill, and in front of it was a pasture, and then on the opposite side of the pasture were a couple of little mountains. And we all prayed, and we thought it was a good idea for us all to go separate ways and go and connect with God and see what he's saying, and then come back and talk about it. It was really fun and kind of a wild thing, you know? We're hippies. We were like Christian hippies. It was fun. So I go one way, a couple other guys go another way, and we come back, and we're excited, and I count, and there's five of us. I'm like, one, two, three, four, where's Bo? Where's my friend Bo? Like, where's he at? And he wasn't there, and so one of my friends said, oh, I saw him go that direction, and so it was like directly across the pasture. So if you can imagine, we're standing on a wood deck, and across, it's like, there's like a pasture with some horses in it, and across there's like a little hill. And so we look over, and we're like, we see something moving. What is that? And it was a mountain lion, and it was huge, and it was fast, and it was one of the few times I've ever seen a mountain lion in my whole entire life, and I was like, oh no. And my friend said, that's exactly where Bo went, right? So we were worried, and we started yelling, Bo, come back, you know, come back, come back, come back. And sure enough, time goes by, the mountain lion goes by, and my friend Bo comes right back. And we talked about it, and we all looked at each other and said, well, he made it, right? And I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking, there's going to be a day where all of us, you know, stand before God, and we're doing our thing with him. And during that time, there will be people that come to our funeral, right? And if we're fortunate enough to live to a ripe old age of 80, 85, 90 even, you know, who knows, that'd be really cool. That'd be great, right? And so let's say you're fortunate enough to do that. At your funeral, the last thing you want is for somebody to come up and say, well, he made it. Right? It's the last thing you want. What you do want, on the other hand, is you want people to come up and say, this person was there for me when I needed them. This person really loved people. I mean, I've been to so many different funerals, and I've seen so many kinds, and I've been to some of those, well, he made it funerals. But then I've been to some funerals where tons of people will stand up and talk about how much somebody meant to them because they took the time when no one else was watching to call somebody or to be there, to really be a force of love for good. Now, I'm not going to get into the next few scriptures because we're going to have to end, but ultimately, we're going to lead up to verse 22. And in verse 22, Peter is going to talk about love. And he's going to talk about agape, agapeo love. How many of you guys watched the game on Sunday? You guys watched the game? And how many of you guys love the commercials? It was so funny. I was watching all the commercials, and I was judging them, you know, and I'm like, eh, that one's not that good. That one's all right. But then one just caught my attention. And in this commercial, it was the New York Life Insurance commercial. And in this commercial, they gave a synopsis of the four Greek words for love. And I think it was from like a C.S. Lewis book, The Four Loves. But I just wanted to read you guys this. This is from that commercial. I can't play it for copyright reasons because we're online. But it said in the commercial for insurance, okay? It said this. The ancient Greeks had four words for love. Philea, storge, and eros. And they went on to explain that, like what each one of them was. But they said the fourth love is different. It's the most admirable, and it's called agape. It's love as an action. And this love takes courage and sacrifice and strength. And then like this commercial show, you got to look it up, I'm telling you. It shows like all these people taking care of other people. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what we should be doing as Christians. This is like a Christian ad for life insurance. It was the weirdest thing. But I was thinking, this is it. We are called to be holy. We are called to live for God and with God. We are called to be with him. And I didn't get into any of the scriptures I thought I was going to get into about redemption and what Jesus actually did for us on the cross, right? He's given all of that to us so that we could be holy. The cross was a huge price to be paid. And we can't take that for granted. We've been given a huge gift of not just life, but we've been given salvation. And so let's act like it. Let's realize that we are free from worries, free from fears, because we have a good Heavenly Father. And let's realize that we have opportunities to love people like no generation has ever had. If you're here tonight, you have enough health to get here. If you're here tonight, you had enough gas in the car to get here, or you had a friend that was willing to bring you. We're rich. And so let's choose to spread what God has given us, even if it's a little thing. Sometimes like the littlest thing means so much. Texting somebody, calling somebody, smiling at somebody. This culture's gotten so weird. I smile at everyone, and I've noticed like if I'll smile at girls, guys, whatever, and I've noticed if I smile at a lady, it's like it's weird, you know? And I'm like, why? But it's not going to bother me. I'm going to keep smiling at everybody, you know? My wife makes fun of me because people will be waving, and they'll be waving to somebody way behind me, and I'm just like, what's up? How's it going? Because I want to pay attention, because you never know if somebody just needs that. We have a homeless crisis in this city. And I don't know that it's the best idea to hand out cash to everybody. I don't think it's a good idea. But why not smile? Why not say, what's your name? I'm going to pray for you. If God leads you to do something, to buy them some food, that's fine too. I did it the other day, and I felt like God led me. And that's what I'm trying to do. Like every time I see a homeless person, I pray. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? And a lot of times, God's just like, keep driving. But sometimes God's like, stop, turn around, go back. Amen. And so we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to the hurt. We also have to pay attention to the people that just want our attention in our lives, our families. Right? It's in the details, man. Love is in the details. It really is. So anyway, I didn't get through half the stuff I wanted to get through tonight, but let's just pray, and I'm going to ask God to give you guys the courage and the lack of distraction in your life so that you can see the needs of others. So let's pray that. Father, I just lift up everybody here, and I pray, Lord, that every single person in here would have the courage to first realize that we are in need. That we need your grace and we need your forgiveness and we need your love first. And I pray that you'd fill our cups so full, Lord, that we have to go out and empty them into our communities, into our homes first and into our community second. Lord, I pray, God, that you give us that courage, you give us that strength, and you give us that fire, Lord. I pray that fire would come down and take away all the things that need to be taken away, that you would give us back what we need and only what we need, Lord. God, we love you. We thank you for everything. We thank you for who you are. And Father, I pray that if anybody's here tonight and they need to do some business with you, they would not leave tonight without doing that. If that's you, come up and get prayer from one of these prayer people tonight. Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for grace. I pray for strength. And I pray just for a freedom on this body. I pray for a freedom on this body. Holy Spirit, I pray for a freedom. Lord, I pray, God, right now, if there's anybody here that's just dealing with drug addiction, Lord, I pray for freedom tonight, Lord. I pray for freedom in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, God, that they would walk up here, they would let it go and walk away and never pick those drugs up again. Lord, I pray for those that are dealing with alcoholism, those that are dealing with anger, those that are dealing with gossip, those that are dealing with pornography, those that are dealing with whatever it is that is not of you, that is not holy, Lord. I pray that you would give us strength to put those things down and to let your fire come down and burn those things away, Lord. And I pray that we would just live 100% for you and in love with you. God, we need more love. I pray that you give us so much more love and so much more courage. And I pray that you'd make this into the most loving, fearless body of Christ that the world has ever seen. And I just thank you for that, Lord, because I believe that is going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.